Blog Talk Radio.
You know, we're dealing with a very critical and crucial time. Most crucial and critical time that I've ever witnessed, being as young as I am, you know. We all don't want to say nothing else, so we say as young as we are. Now, I want to talk about the pronunciation and the realization. Now, the educators, they call it ESP, positive thinking, right? Some of the people on the cross of the side of the pond call it vibe, vibration, astrology, and all those different things, you understand? But I call what it is what it is. What it is what it is. Look at him. Now you see, a brother, you take in the ghetto, you find a whole lot of crime. I can understand. Hey.
Welcome to the Ghost Squad Sports Radio Podcast. It is I, Puma, along with Black Thor and Ice Water. What it is what it is. We're going to jump right into it. Our NFL picks. What you been waiting for all week? Team Puma came out 14-1 last week. Everybody else had a great week also. Team Pop, Team Black Thor, and Team Ice Water went 13-2. I think CBS went 13-2. I was checking them out. They were bragging about going 13-2 last week, but 7-8 against the spread. So I don't think a lot of people made money. How you doing there, Black?
I'm doing well, man. I got to pay tribute to my man, Bang, 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 John Witherspoon. We love you, bro.
Oh, yeah, man. That's going to be a big loss, man. Ice Water, how you doing?
I'm good, bro. Just think about it. It's time to coordinate. It's time to coordinate.
I got that DVD. I think I'm going to pop it in tonight, man. That's one funny dude. The Boondock Fridays. Of course, John Pops Witherspoon passed away earlier this morning, and he is going to be missed. Oh, man, let's do a tribute to the show, pay tribute to him on this show. And let's go with NFL picks. I'll give you the records real quick. And the records, overall records, I already gave you the records for the week. Everybody had a great week. I am at 83-37, one tie. Pop and Black are still tied. They won't let each other go at 75-45 and one tie. And Ice Water is three games behind them with 72-48 and one tie. The pick order as it goes for this week is Pop picking first, I'm picking second, Black Thor picking third, and Ice Water picking last. So watch out there, Black. Watch out there, Black. It might be some tail grab. Because I know Ice don't want to be in last place. So let's get to the getting. The first game on tap is San Francisco versus Arizona. And Pop is going with San Francisco. I'm also going with San Francisco. Black, who you got?
Yeah, San Francisco is real, man. Even though Phoenix is starting to play some pretty good, decent football, they look better than they did first couple of weeks, but San Fran is not playing around, man. They're taking numbers and knocking folk out, 49ers.
All right, so you got, man?
San Francisco is hot, playing real good, defense is rolling. It's a complete team right now, San Francisco on the road.
Yeah, San Francisco, Sherman has a lot of praise for Bosa and that front line they have. And he said it's making his job easier, but he said those guys are playing like boys veterans, especially Bosa out there in the front line. So if he's giving you praise, man, that they have to be really, really good. He's played on championship teams. Next game on tap is Houston and Jacksonville. And this is going to be played overseas. So Pop is picking Houston. I was very impressed with Houston, even though they lost J.J. Watt last week to a pectoral injury. This kid is like, they call him the Michael Jordan of football. The Michael Jordan of football. He makes it happen. So I'm picking Houston also. Black, who you got?
I went back and forth with this one, man. Back and forth. But I'm going to take Houston, too. Yeah, I wanted to pull Jacksonville, but the offense is not clicking like it was earlier with the backup quarterback. They're still playing okay, but I think Houston pulled this one out.
All right, so you got, man?
If it was in Jacksonville, I think I'd be rolling with this because I like Jacksonville. I like the way that they play, and Fournette's been playing. Losing White is big. Across the pond, though, y'all might decide with Houston because it's Deshaun Watson. Houston.
All right. Next game is the Washington football team that won't change their logo versus the Buffalo Bills. Pop is going with Buffalo at home. I'm also going with Buffalo at home. Even though they can't score more than two touchdowns, I think that's all you need to play Washington. Black, who you got?
Yeah, Buffalo at home should roll with this one. I take the Bills.
All right. All right, so you got, man?
Much needed redemption for Buffalo. So Buffalo at home.
All right. Next game on tap is Minnesota versus Kansas City. Kansas City hasn't been doing too well at home as of late. But so Pop loves Mahomes, but I don't know if Mahomes is going to play. He's picking Minnesota to win. I'm going with Kansas City to win this. Even though if he plays or not, I got to go with Kansas City. They played like spirited football last week, but couldn't seal the deal. But their defense is coming along a little bit and playing a little bit better. Black?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings in this one, man. I hope Kirk Cousins show up, and I think he will. Even if he don't, man, I think they're going to ground it out with the running back. So I'm going to take the Vikings.
Okay. Ice water, who you got, man?
Yeah, we're going to go with the Vikings. They can score points, and I think that's going to be Kansas City's issue in regards to trying to score. So I think the Vikings are going to get it done on the road.
All right, next game on tap is the New York Jets versus the Miami Dolphins. And the Miami Dolphins are playing at home. I think I'm going to go Papa's going with the New York Jets. I think I'm going to go with Miami, the home team. I can't believe that they can go 0-4 for the whole season. And the Jets, they came out like world beaters beating Dallas, but I don't know if they could beat Miami at home. And I don't trust the quarterback also. Black?
Yeah, I think quietly this coach has lost the team. There's a couple of players, at least one player, Adams, was trying to trade before the deadline, one of the better players. They did get one of the defensive line. They traded to the Giants. I think the team is going to start to quit on him a little bit. And Miami's going to win this one, taking the Dolphins at home.
Now, I'm wondering, what are you hearing? Because you're always talking about this particular coach, and he lost the team very early, as soon as Darnold went down. What are you hearing in New York now?
Yeah, they're basically, it's like a quietly vote in a sense. They feel like he did this in Miami. He got rid of players that kind of, some of the more talented players that maybe he didn't see eye to eye. And when he kind of got the general manager fired for signing Le'Veon Bell. So I think that started the resentment there, and the Jets really haven't went out and hired general manager. And I think the players are just starting to feel after that Giants, not the Giants game, that Cowboys game, they got up. But after, if you notice since then, the Jets really haven't been playing that well. And I don't think they're feeling the coach. I think they're starting not to trust him in a sense. And they was talking about this on TV a little bit yesterday, the trade deadline. How do you basically put players out there to trade them, and if the trade doesn't happen, it's a little awkward to bring them back. That's what I think this is going to be, and I think it's going to show on the field this week when they play Miami.
All right. Ice water, who you got?
New York was trying to trade Le'Veon Bell. And he said, I don't want to be traded. It's going to take time. But I'm wondering, how can you be satisfied with Le'Veon Bell 10 carries for 24 yards? Wow, he has his money, so he's not concerned. I think it's going to be a revenge game. So I'm going to roll with Miami at home.
Okay. Everybody's picking on Miami. I thought I had everybody on that one. Okay. Next game on tap is the Chicago Bears versus Philly. Pop is going with Philly. That other bad little man in football, DeSean Jackson, should be back on the field along with some other pieces that Philly needs on that offense and defense. So I'm going with Philly also. Black, who you got?
Yeah, the Bears ain't me let me down. That's part of the reason why Puma's leading right now. I've been taking the Bears for some games. I'm taking Philly this one, man.
I've been here since 89. Man, I don't think I laughed so hard at the end of the game last week that I laughed hard at that kicker. And you kind of saw it getting ready to happen.
Oh, yeah.
When they got
him
the kick, I'm like, oh, he's going to miss this kick.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to miss this kick. And I got people here that are Bear fans who won't even speak to me now. Who you got, Ice?
Yeah, I think Chicago was winning when I was picking them by myself, that y'all jumped on the wagon, but it's all right. But this week is going to be very difficult. When I had them by myself, I was doing just fine picking Chicago. Not this week, though. Philadelphia is making strides, and Chicago simply cannot move the ball at all. So defense has not been the same. Philadelphia is showing a little life. So Philadelphia at home.
All right. Next game on tap is Indianapolis versus Pittsburgh. Pop is going with Pittsburgh. I'm also going with Pittsburgh. Who you got, Black?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts, man. They tend to play better at home, but this quarterback is having a pretty good year, man. I watched him Sunday will them back to a win. Now, he didn't play great, but he played good enough to get the win. I think he's going to do the same thing on Sunday. I don't trust the Steelers, man. I'm taking the Colts.
All right. All right, so you got?
Yeah, Pittsburgh cannot get the ball to Smith-Schuster. And the running backs hurt Connor the whole nine. You just can't give them a victory because you like their colors and their helmet and what they used to be. And Ben Roethlisberger's on the sideline. I'm picking Jacoby Brissett and the Indianapolis Colts on the road.
All right. Next game on tap is Tennessee versus Carolina. Tennessee changed the quarterback, and Carolina took a beating last week against the 49ers. But Pop is rolling with the Panthers. I'm also rolling with the Panthers at home. Black, who you got?
Yeah, even though they got snuffed out last week, man, I think they'll bounce back at home against Tennessee. I'm going to take the Panthers.
All right. Ice Water, who you got?
Well, Catherine's redemption game is going to be in Carolina, so I'm rolling with the Panthers, score a lot of points versus Tennessee. Panthers.
Are both of you surprised that Cam didn't move during the trading deadline?
No, not at all, man. I mean, he popped up. He was at the game in California last week, but no, not surprised because, I mean, you still may have to go back to him before the season is over to see what he has. But I think Carolina, for the most part, then decided to move on from him. I think it's just a matter of time playing itself out. I was surprised him on the sideline, man. I really was. But, no, I think they should have probably, but no, I wasn't surprised.
Ice, you weren't surprised either?
No, because what happens if this kid doesn't keep doing what he's doing? You just never know. And not to call him a kid, but this young man. So it's better that since you already are, you have signed Cam, then it's like lighthouse money. Always good, better to have two quarterbacks that are at least somewhat capable than just one and somebody else is a backup. So yeah, I was surprised. I wasn't surprised by that. I think they should keep both of them right now.
All right, maybe a couple of years ago or a year ago, this next game would probably be a game you take a nap on. I actually think this is going to be a pretty good game. Detroit versus Oakland. Pop is going with Detroit. I'm also going with Detroit. Black, who you got?
I'm going to take the Raiders with this one, man. I think the Raiders are, you know, they're finding themselves a little groove. Detroit's not bad. They're playing okay, but the fact they got to travel and go to this one, I'm going to take the Raiders. I think the Raiders can pound the ball some, and Lions are still finding a way trying to run. I'm going to take the Raiders.
All right, who you got?
The Lions have been struggling. I mean, at first we thought they were going to be nasty on defense, particularly because of their head coach, but they've been struggling to stop people. So I like the Raiders. I've been paying attention to the Raiders the last couple of weeks. I like their tight end, Waller. He's a nice player, and I think they're going to move the ball. So at home, Oakland, the Raiders at home.
Right. Next game on tap is Tampa Bay versus Seattle. Seattle, they don't wow you, but they find ways to win. So Pop is going with Seattle. I'm also going with Seattle, too. And Seattle's at home. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I'll pick Seattle with this one, man. I don't know if you guys saw the highlight of Jameis Winston. He threw a pass, I think it was in the first quarter, to the side of the field. There was no receiver there. It was like a receiver ran a bad play. It was like it was 30 yards with it wasn't a Tampa Bay uniform that we found. Oh, I don't know how much longer. At this rate, I don't know how much longer they're going to allow this cat to keep throwing the ball, man. I don't know what he's thinking, what he's doing, but he's going up to Seattle. Yeah, I'm not saying Seattle defense is that good, but they're going to make him look that bad. I'm taking Seattle.
I'm trying to think who – I got to look it up, who's their backup in Tampa Bay, because if he's doing that bad, man, you got to, like, say, okay, come on, let's just cut our losses and go with the backup. All right, so you got, man?
Well, last week he was at least able to find Mike Evans. Mike Evans had one hell of a game. But when it counts, they make crucial mistakes, and that's going to be – you can't do that against Seattle. Not against Russell Wilson, unless you just have a dominant playmaker on the offense overset what's happening. So that's not going to take place. So Seattle at home.
All right. Next game on tap is Cleveland. Goes up to Mile High Stadium to play the Denver Broncos. Flacco is out, but Pop is still going with Denver at home. I'm going to go with Cleveland. Baker Mayfield did get pissed off in press conferences. The last time he got pissed off in press conferences, they kind of pounded the Baltimore Ravens at that particular time, who I thought were a good team at that particular time. I still do. But I'm going to go with Cleveland. Maybe they have something to fight for in Cleveland. Black?
Yeah, it's a game I think they can take out, man. I'm not even sure it's coaching. I mean, it's quarterback in Fort Denver, but it doesn't matter. Even if Flacco was there, I'll take Cleveland away. Cleveland's got to find a way. I know you got all these toys and the outside run. Just give the ball to Chubb. I know you fumbled a couple of times on a Monday night, whatever the case may be. Give the ball to Chubb. Move out of the way. Give the ball to Chubb, then give it to him some more. That's it. Stop all this play calling. Stop all this, what you're trying, what you can't do. Just give it to Chubb, man. Let him win the game for you.
It was one play, man. Chubb fumbled twice. Baker Mayfield threw the ball to the other guy. I just texted both of you and said Cleveland. You don't have to say anything else but Cleveland. All right, so you got.
Man, that play was horrible. I was like, are you serious? You know how, you know how bad that play had to be for that lineman to get across there and then catch it? Oh, my goodness. I mean, I know athleticism, but my goodness, that was horrible. But, I think Chubb's going to try to right the wrong. Them two fumbles. That was bad. And they were right moving the ball as well. So he's going to get himself together because you saw him coming off the field and he was just like blown away. So they're going to right the wrong in Denver. So Cleveland on the road.
Okay. Next game on tap is Green Bay versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Pop is going with Green Bay. Even though they're the road dogs, I'm going with Green Bay also. And from my opinion, if you gave me a choice between Breeze, Brady, and Aaron Rodgers, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers every time. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I hear you with that. I don't know. I might take I might have to stick Breeze in there, bro. What's up about this cat, man? Aaron Rodgers, sometimes he can be a little – I guess I say that because I had him for years in fantasy, and he ain't do well every week. He's been bad. He's been balling this year. I'm going to take Green Bay because I don't trust the Chargers. This team is too talented to have the win-loss record that they have, man. They just are. But this is what they do every year. They might go on a winning streak because that's what they used to doing. But I don't think it's going to start this week. I'm taking Packers.
All right. All right, so you got?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, man, was able to get it done with smoke and mirrors. His wide receiver was out. He's still getting it done. And a lot of surprise in a lot of different ways. So, Green Bay on the road.
Yeah, And the reason why I say Aaron Rodgers is, can you name a Green Bay receiver?
No,
Adams,
I can't.
The dude with the three names. Adams, the dude with three.
No.
But that's why. Adams, the dude with the three names. Williams,
yeah,
the primary guy, yeah, from out the backfield. Jones.
Yeah, so they're not like the guys that you would say, okay, that's the number one guy right there. I mean, he's doing it with guys that are basically just kind of brand new, and he's making it work. And he has a solid running back, and they got a solid running game going. So finally, after all these years. Next game on tap is New England versus Baltimore. Pop is going with New England. I'm picking the upset on this. I think Baltimore has a shot to beat New England with Jackson. So I'm picking that as my upset special this week. Black, what you got?
Yeah, I'm picking the Ravens here too, man. I think the running game is going to present something that New England is just not—they're not used to. They haven't seen a quarterback that can move like this and run like this. And I think that's what's going to. Even though Belichick's probably going to find a way to try to combat it, but I'm picking the Ravens, especially Ravens at home. If it was in New England, I will go the other way, but I'm taking the Ravens.
I'm glad the camera not on in the first 40. I'm walking around my living room like, dang, I thought everybody should be doing this. God! I see you guys.
Yeah, he got you with that one, didn't he? Baltimore won a big game in Seattle. That was huge. I was still surprised by that. But my question is, are they going to be able to keep doing that are they really going to get caught up in the hype of New England? New England has not played well the last couple of weeks. I don't know what the hell is wrong with them. But I think this is a challenge for them. So I'm going to pick New England on the road. I think they're going to try to rise up and get it done using Edelman.
Yeah, and another reason why I didn't pick New England, because they played the last week's game. Have you seen that many sacks of Tom Brady? And I know Cleveland has a decent front line, but they were getting to Tom Brady. And so if Cleveland can get to Tom Brady, I know the Baltimore defense can get to Tom Brady. And I just hadn't seen that. They were just getting to him. They weren't kind of smacking real hard, but they were getting to him enough times where they can cause havoc. So I got to go with Baltimore. I can't. I think New England will win the Super Bowl and go to the Super Bowl, but I can't see them going undefeated throughout the whole season. Somebody's got to get them and kind of expose that offensively they're not the team of the past. Next game on tap, this is going to be, I don't know about this one, Dallas versus the New York Giants. Pop is going with Dallas. Dallas had a bye week, and they should be ready for the Giants. And I'm going with Dallas too. Black, who are you going with?
Yeah, I haven't really been watching the Giants too much this season. I definitely want to watch this one, man. I'm going to take the Cowboys. Yeah, they're one that's impressive with. And they're headed to get big again for next week. And then, of course, at some point in a week or two, the moon will pop again.
So you're going with the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm picking the Cowboys.
All right. Ice, who you got?
Across the board, I love it when a Giants fan tries to figure out some things, even though the things ain't the way they're supposed to be. You got to find some light in the darkness. I ain't mad at that. Dallas on the road.
man. And I said to my pop, I said, I hope the Giants kick Dallas's behind, but I'm picking Dallas. I got to pick Dallas. All right, we're going to take a break and come back and talk. It's the World Series happening, Game 7. Houston's up in the bottom of the fourth, 1-0 with the man on first. We'll talk about that when we get back, as well as the NBA, NCAA football, and boxing that happened last weekend with, I think it's Ice Water's son. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Dual Squad. I need some dust.
Do you know where I'm coming from? You can't be greedy. You got to take some and leave some. I've never been a cat who won't all. I'm so glad I'm not that kind of guy. But the pantry is big enough for everyone. You got to take some.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. It's just me and Ice right now. Black Thor got to take off so he can do his work in, early in the morning. So thank that brother for coming out on the first 40 and making his pick. But we're going to go to a little bit later. Instead of having guest callers come in, we have a few questions, Ice, that some of the folks are emailing us that they wanted us to address, and we'll shout them out. Those questions that they come back to us with, and some of the answers we come up with. One of the questions about the Knicks, my boy Audie on Facebook sent me a question because he's a big Knicks fan just like me, and he had one. So I want to throw it to you before I answer. But let's talk about the World Series, bro. It's Game 7, and there's a lot of funny things happening last night. My father is picking the Washington Nationals because he said that Houston is trying to cheat them boys. Give me your thoughts about the World Series, and I'll give you my thoughts about the World Series.
Yeah, great series so far. You think about it from the standpoint that what's quite unusual is that the away team has won every game in the series.
Right.
Which is amazing. You think about that, amazing. Just play six games and the away team has won. So you would think the Nationals will win tonight, but a lot has happened. One of the big things I think for here is you have Matt Scherzer, who was supposed to pitch game five, is pitching tonight, and they're behind 1-0. And he had some issues with his back, a lot of other stuff going on. So I'm interested to see how this works. I think the factor that I think if they're going to try to win, can you call back Strasburg to pitch again? And I think they might try.
Right.
He was dominant in the last game, so I think that's going to be key for them. But the other thing, too, here is with Houston, I don't see a way that they try to win this game without bringing in Jared Cole. And I think the way it goes, we're in bottom of the fourth right now. If they get to five, if they get to the fifth inning, which we will get into the fifth inning, and he can make it through, then you might see Cole come in 6-7 and let the relievers take it in from there. If they can keep this going
okay,
the way that it is, it might change. But it's a hell of a game, hell of a series. Everybody's kind of, for the most part, rose to the occasion. But we've seen some chinks in the armor, too. But this is a great series. I cannot wait to see what happens the rest of the way. As you mentioned, bottom of the fourth, Houston up 1-0, two outs. And who's going to win? Altuve's batting right now.
Yeah, I always get a little sense that Altuve is going to kind of save the day like he usually does. He's up at bat with a 2-1 count, two men on base. And like I said, he's a bad little man. And he just smacked one too shallow, so it's three outs. But, yeah, this has been an interesting series because I've never watched a World Series where the home team couldn't seal a deal at home. I've never watched that. That's so bizarre to me. And, you know, you try to figure out why that, you know, that is. But this seems to be going to be a tight game. And no matter if Washington wins or not, you know, you got to tip your hat to them because they weren't even supposed to be here. They weren't even supposed to be in the playoffs. And to make it this far and take it seven games to a team that won over 100 games and was a lot of people thought that would be here, and give them all they can handle. You know what? You know, Martinez, I got to tip my hat to him because he did a hell of a job. What do you think about that call yesterday? Because I felt like a lot of people spent too much time on it because they were like, you know, harping on it last night, kept harping on it. And I was talking to my father earlier today, and he was like, well, if Washington didn't win, that would have cost them the series. And so based on that one particular call. I said, okay, they kept playing, they won, let's leave it alone. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit was made too much was made of it from the standpoint of if you look at it, he was inside the line, which means when you run that way, you're obscuring the fielders from getting the ball to the first baseman, and they called it out, and then of course Martinez went off. I think Martinez did that because he wanted to get his guys fired up, so he gets thrown out the game. They end up winning, which I think the game was in hand when that all took place. So with that being said, it's like I got to get my guys fired up. And I think he went a little overboard with that. But, hey, you do what you got to do to try to win. But I think the call was what it was. He was you're supposed to run outside the line of right on it, not inside to obscure the judgment of the fielder. And I think that's what happened. So they got the victory, move on. But I think it might be used as a catalyst, if you will, for them to try to win tonight. So we'll see.
Okay. Any other thoughts on baseball? I know that Ross got the job with the Cubs. Girardi got the job with the Phillies. Any other kind of news in baseball other than the World Series?
Well, when you looked at that, too, when Girardi with the Phillies, I think that's a good move. Of course, I was looking at my buddy Dusty Baker, but they need somebody with some experience. Girardi's been there before. He would love that opportunity because he has some big bats. Now they just need to get everything in order, and I think that the players there will gravitate to him because, one, he has rings. So that's the other thing. When you have rings and you can kind of dictate what's going on, same way that you may see, I think, is going to happen when you see Madden, what he does down with Los Angeles, with the Los Angeles Angels. I think a lot of people are going to be sleeping on them in regards because he knows how to win. And Cubs, we'll see if you can enjoy your non-experienced manager. See if he gets that done for you. Good luck.
Yeah, I think that's a real bad move. You need to get somebody with experience that could really coach this team up and motivate them to get back where they were a few years ago in World Series contention. And just because this guy was on the World Series team and they called him the coach in the locker room or the manager in the locker room, or, players that looked up to him. Every player that's known to be on the Cubs team is not part of that World Series team. So I think maybe, just maybe, if he doesn't really put a staff behind him or around him that's going to really help him kind of get what he needs out of these players, I think this is going to be a disaster for the Cubs. And I'm thinking maybe the Cubs don't care. Maybe they need a person that is a media darling that can really kind of sell the product or sell the brand, and they're not worried about wins. Because think about it, before the Cubs were winning and in the playoffs, they were still making money. And maybe this family has figured that out. We really don't have to pay a high-priced manager to come in here and win championships. All we do have to do is kind of keep afloat, and we'll still make money hand over fist. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I guess the biggest thing, though, is, yeah, look at it. Well, a lot of times they were upset. People and the fans were considered mad because they felt like they weren't generating runs and they weren't getting the job done. So you can blame that on the manager, which they did on Madden, because they thought he should have been better. But is it that means that a guy, because he played with them or he's been in that locker room before, does that mean he's going to generate them to hit the ball? I'm not sure about that. Sometimes it's by X and O.
Right.
So maybe it's good about fanfare. Cubs are going to make money regardless. We know that because of the temperament of the city and then the history and the legacy of that franchise. But if you're trying to win ball games, I think you need to have somebody that is experienced. And maybe he knows something we don't, but Epstein's bringing him in, and I think Joe Madden might have said the best. He said the best thing that could ever happen was to if the Angels could play the Cubs in the World Series and beat them. So we'll see.
He landed on his feet, and I'm so happy for him. He landed on his feet. I thought that they gave him a raw deal here. Really good guy. I'm not a Cubs fan, but really good guy. Really brought a lot to the table. Took a team that nobody thought would win over 100 years,
and did, you know, did his thing. And I thought that they should have gave him a little bit more time, and, you know, because there were a lot of other things that were beyond his control, why that team didn't succeed. So it wasn't just the manager. Let's go to some of the questions from the internet, man. What I did last week is put out a message on social media saying, hey, if you have any questions for us, and we're going to take two. One is from Otis Spanky. So we always get nicknames here on the Goose Squad Sports Radio Show. And I think I know who Otis Spanky is. And this question, I said, we'll tackle this, but I'll present it to you. This question is about the big man at the Pelicans, Zion Williamson. And he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. He said, is his career going to be like Bill Walton or Yao Ming, who was cut short due to injuries? They're paying him a lot of money. So what are your thoughts towards, you know, Zion Williamson going out for 6 to 8 weeks? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, how, you know, I didn't feel like he was, you know, really kind of healed from that Duke injury playing at Duke, and he didn't rest enough. We all kind of, I know I did, and I know Black did, that he should just sit out the rest of the season and wait to the pros and heal up. But what are your thoughts about Otis Spanky's question about, is he going to be a bust like Bill Walton or Yao Ming?
Well, before you label him a bust, let him heal up a little bit and let him see if he can play, because just to throw him under the bus like that right now is kind of bad. Also, too, the fact that he's still a young man, and the fact that I think it would have been worse if they would have let him play through, at least start the season and then try to figure it out later on. The fact that they found out this early, even if it was to come back mid-season, then so be it. It's not that big a deal. The issue itself, the injury, he's going to have to lose some weight. But to start that off, this year off this way, as his rookie year, is not a bad thing, because you can always get better and build as you move forward. It's the issues when you start to go along the same way and start to repeat the same pattern as you got older. As you get older, you try to change it then. So I think that's the issue. So I think he'll be fine. To just say he was a bust from the beginning, man, I mean, that's heavy, man. It's like saying Sam Bowie was a bust. Sam Bowie got hurt. Please don't use that word bust, man. If somebody hurt, how can you be a bust when you get hurt? You don't plan on getting hurt.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But, no, I think he's going to be fine. I think that they did the right thing by finding out, putting him on the shelf, and then just trying to get him better. And then when he's healthy, he's going to be one of the best in the league. So I think that word bust shouldn't be thrown around lightly.
Well, I put that word to kind of summarize what I was reading in the question, busting. So that wasn't Otis Spanky, so I can't put that on him. But one of the things that was trending when he got hurt was what's the player from Ohio State name? Greg Oden. That was trending, and they were trending it because of they were kind of comparing Greg Oden to Zion Williams, because I think at that time, Greg Oden, Ohio State, played in the national championship game, I think against Florida, if I'm not mistaken. I think they lost in the national championship game. And everybody had this big praise about Greg Oden because he was pretty much dominating at Ohio State. And this is not the first time this has happened. You had Sam Bowie, who was hurt in Kentucky and kind of concealed it and got into the pros and really hurt himself when he went to Portland. And so I think when folks see this, it kind of reminds, especially when you've been in this sport and seen the sport for a lot of years and see kind of great talents kind of get hurt in their first year, it's kind of like a traumatic experience where you go, okay, is this compared to so-and-so? Is this compared to the other guy who didn't make it in the league but had a lot of praise? Ralph Sampson was one for me. I thought Ralph Sampson, being a Carolina fan, Ralph Sampson terrorized me. I was a big fan of Ralph Sampson. And I thought, in my mind, Ralph Sampson was going to revolutionize basketball. This is a 7'4 guy who can dribble like a point guard. I mean, he could shoot from the outside, mid-range, things of that sort, and could dominate inside and dunk. Watching him and Patrick Ewing go back and forth in those battles of Georgetown and Virginia and watching him, what he did in the ACC, and then you kind of saw, you know, what NC State did to him during the season, and when NC State went on that run, his last chance to win a title, and he couldn't do it. Then he went with the Twin Towers with Hakeem Olajuwon, the Twin Towers. You thought, okay, Houston's just going to run the table. It didn't happen. And then all of a sudden the injuries start coming in, and then Ralph Sampson becomes a footnote in sports. And so I think when people see that, they go, oh, man, you know, you kind of have those high hopes, and then all of a sudden you get the letdown. And so hopefully, he doesn't become the letdown. But that injury, the way I keep hearing and reading about it, is that he's not going to have, or he may not have, the bounce that we are used to seeing him playing with and jumping around and just incredible athleticism. And so will that change his game? Will that kind of bring him down to earth? I think he's about 6'7", 6'8". So, and one of the things that really bothered me, Ice, is that Charles Barkley had some words to say about his weight and all this other stuff. And I'm like scratching my head like, wait a minute, didn't they say anything about you coming out of college and that you needed to lose weight and you kind of fought that, eating cheeseburgers while you're on the treadmill and all that other stuff? So, you know, sometimes I think he needs to kind of be quiet because sometimes he kind of puts his foot in his mouth. But like I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm really rooting for Zion Williamson. Even though the Knicks didn't get him, I'm really rooting for him because I know the history about Duke players who come into the NBA. Sometimes they just don't fare well. And I also think about when I thought about Zion, I thought about Grant Hill. Everybody forgets how Grant Hill came in and he got hurt and he just never could get right. And so there's not too many, in my mind, Duke players who really come to the NBA and shine. And you would hope, I know his counterpart over R.J. Barrett over at the Knicks, he's kind of shining over there. You would hope that those two, just being best friends, could shine. Maybe one day they could play together. And Zion kind of does what he does in with the Pelicans, come over to the Knicks and play for a while and get us a championship. But, you know, you would hope that these guys shine. They're young guys. They're one-and-done guys. They don't seem like the typical Duke players that Duke had, you know, have a tradition of having, the 3 to 4 year players. So I'm kind of rooting for those guys because, you know, like I said, I'm a Carolina fan, but I like what they bring to the NBA. I like their game. But it's too early to tell, but we should see. We should see. The next question.
Can I elaborate one more thing on there?
Of course. Of course. Of course.
Okay. Just real quick. The Greg Oden thing, I literally got a chance to talk to him about that because I asked him about him being injured. And I think a lot of people don't understand. He played a lot of basketball when he was playing AAU, perhaps too much. And one of the things that he told me was when he was like in seventh or eighth grade or coming up on that, he had like two growth spurts. One, he was like four, he grew 4 inches. Another one, he grew another 5 inches. And when you are that tall, I literally believe, this before he even went to college, he was in high school, grade school, then he had another one. But I think the day people don't understand that your body needs time to adjust when you're growing that fast and to keep pounding it like they didn't really do him any justice. And he had said that I think like in the seventh or eighth grade, he had hip surgery after his second growth spurt.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. He had hip surgery. Nobody knows that. He said, I had hip surgery. When I was a kid, I was like, he said, yeah, because my body was going so quick. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, nobody says that. Nobody knows that. I asked that question. But then you think about that, you think the number of games, came to Ohio State with a messed up wrist that was broken when he got to Ohio State,
right,
and they put him on the shelf. Yeah, so I think he just played too much, and he was an old man by the time he literally was trying to go to the pros. He literally was an old man body-wise than he should have been. So I think his situation is a little different in that regard. That's what I say when people want to say the bust. I just think he had given all he got and had been used up by the time he got there. And that being 6'10", 7'7", whatever he was throughout the years, I'm sure these coaches didn't do him any favors. He's always at tournaments and doing playing a lot of games.
Yeah, I don't think people. I think you're absolutely right. I don't think people really realize the wear and tear on these young people's bodies. Just pounding in AAU and high school. Then you got to go to college. Then the NBA. I remember you doing a story about the guys not getting enough sleep and how that was affecting their bodies and their game on a previous show that we did. So I don't think that people really realize that. I mean, people who play the sport realize the pounding and all that other stuff and what goes into it and the how your body deteriorates. And sometimes you don't realize it until something goes wrong. And so I never knew about Greg Oden's hip surgery. Wow. In high school, I mean, what, seventh, eighth grade, you said?
Yeah, something like that. Wow. Something around that time. Right before he got to high school, he had hip surgery because he said he grew. He had a large spurt, a growth spurt, like 5 inches, and then he grew again. And it was like because I think he said he went from almost like, at one point, he was like 6'2 to about almost 6'9, man, at some point.
Wow.
So in between certain times, and your body needs time to rest. A lot of people don't think that, but you need time to kind of grow and make sure that you're healthy instead of pounding, especially at such a young age.
Right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come with the second question from Audie. It's the next question, and he's trying to, I guess, ask a question and letting the fans know, the Knicks fans know, and I think this is a question we can handle. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio.
The JV is live and fast.
Sports radio show. I got a feeling that Houston may take this, man. It just seems like the momentum is their way, and it just seems like I don't know. I just got a feeling they're not going to just walk away from the series not winning one for the home crowd. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Let's get this question up from Audie. Now, I'm a Knicks fan. I admit that. And Audie's question is, when will Knicks fans understand that cap space means nothing when no one wants to come to you? So the Knicks have cap space to get some players, but I think Knicks fans are really kind of screaming for players to come to New York Knicks. And I know Mark and a.k.a. Black Door has talked about this, about the Knicks not being the Mecca anymore. But the Knicks fans, a lot of Knicks fans, not me, I kind of understand what's going on. But I guess him being in New York, Knicks fans aren't really realizing that, hey, it doesn't matter if you got all this cap space, nobody wants to come and play for your owner.
Yeah, but unfortunately fans have pipe dreams. They want to win. They get excited every time because it's 0-0. Nobody's losing. The records are all, everybody's even. But love or hate Kevin Durant, he kind of maybe put it out there. And you have to have a base or to build around. And they haven't really done well that either. They moved around. They had Porzingis, got him out of there, brought in Dennis Smith Jr., and that really is not working real well. So they went and got him some young guys and R.J. Barrett and bringing in some veterans. There's no consistency or nothing that sticks. So you get rid of certain things, and you just, it's like a merry-go-round on that situation right now. So maybe they're going to start with bringing in R.J. Barrett and some other guys and even Knox. But you got to stop the bleeding somewhere. because how can you expect somebody just to come because it's New York? Those days are over, man. Those days are over, Carmelo Anthony. Anyway, those days are over. Guys want to win, and if they want to win, then you had to have some, give them some reason to want to come there besides the attraction, how great of a city it is, how big it is. So it is, I think it's different. So I don't know. I mean, who knows? RJ Barrett, this might be a start or something, but you just can't come back next year and do the same thing over there. You have to build up, have a foundation to build upon.
I remember having this conversation. I can't remember if I had it on the air with Black or off the air. And my thing was with the Knicks, and I think it was after the draft, and I said that the only thing they can do right now to make their team better, and I'm talking about the players, because the staff is who the staff is, the owner is who the owner is. The Knicks players have to put it in their minds, they got to be dogs. They got to go out there every night and put it to teams to the point where teams are like, you know what, we're playing the Knicks tonight, you got to bring your lunch pail. You got to go out there and fight every night. You got to play with some pride. You got to do some things that make teams remember you. You got to come up with some wins. You got to try to get to the playoffs with what you got. And if people start seeing that, I think that it will attract them, despite the owner, attract them to that particular market. The Knicks are going to make money because it's New York and it's quote-unquote the Mecca. And people like to play in the New York area for the stars and all that stuff. But as for the players, you got to be dogs now. You got to just go out there and, you know, and balls to the wall and play. And play every night and show folks that you're fighting, that you're doing everything you can to win ball games, to attract other players and say, you know what, I like this. I look at a player like Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley is a dog. Nobody was going to the Clippers at one particular point. When Blake left, when CP3 left, when, a lot of different players left that organization, they had Sweet Lou and Beverley and whoever they could get, and they just went out there and played like dogs, man. Just made it hard for everybody they played. They took it to everybody they played, whether it was Golden State or whatever, and they attracted guys. Now look at the complement of players that they have now. You got, you got Leonard. You have, the other guy who's hurt right now. Who's the guy who's hurt back there with the ball game commercial?
Paul George.
He's hurt the shoulder. Paul George.
Paul George.
And so now you have, now you have some players that you can work with and build a championship. But also you had an owner who was willing to spend the money, do the other thing. I think if the players kind of show the initiative, the fans would back them, and then you have the owner. You'll put more pressure on the owner to kind of do some things to entice players to come. But it has to come through the players. It has to come. It can't come from anywhere else. We can't sit and wait anymore for a Superman to come. You did that with Carmelo. That was a big mistake. We did that with Amari Stoudemire, who, by the way, is getting signed by a China league. We did that with so many other players that were either past their prime or not, as good as they once were. Penny Hardaway, all these different players. You got to stop waiting for Superman. You just, the players you got is who you got, and then you go in there and you fight like dogs to try to win and make an impression and get players and get better to do this. That's the only way you can do this to make New York respectable. It can't come from it's not coming from the front office. It has to come from the players on the court. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that, bro, but I'll let you kind of respond to that.
Oh, yeah. No, I can see your point. I agree with that you have to start somewhere and they have to fight. But the other part of it, too, is, like I mentioned earlier, they have they picked up a couple of veterans. They picked up Morris, who kind of went away, mm-hmm. said he didn't want to play for San Antonio, playing for them. He's a tough guy. Also, Taj Gibson, he's playing there too. They had Dennis, I think it was Dennis Smith Jr. there for a while. He's still there, but they made some changes as far as who's going to start at the point guard. Now they made some changes. There was who was the other point guard used to play for Portland that's there? I think it Peyton. Is it Peyton? They have Eldrick Payton. Somebody else is starting. Yeah, he's starting now because I think Dennis Smith Jr. has struggled, or somebody else has struggled as well. So, they have, as you said, they have to have a place to begin to build up on. R.J. Barrett, yeah. So even if you don't win a lot of games, start a nucleus, like I said, of doing what you do, maybe get some decent players, and then say, hey, let's feel good about winning a few more games than we did last year, and then let's continue to build from the draft. That's how you do it. It's not going to be smoke and mirrors. And then particularly if you have, you think you had the right coach, then you have to give people that compliment and style as well.
Yeah. I think Fizdale is a good coach. I give him a lot of credit what he did in Memphis, and I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good fit for building a culture there. And that's what the Knicks need now. They had a culture. Think about in the 80s when they had Mason, Ewing, Stark. They had a culture there. And their culture was, we're going to beat you up on the court, and we can't beat you up on the court. We're going to see you outside. And that was the culture. It was like grinding teeth watching them. But you learn to love that. And they won games. And they were dogs. And so I think you got to get back to that. I definitely think you got to get back to that. All right, man. Let's talk some NCAA football. And there are some games this week, but I want to talk about last week. I am so glad that Michigan was able to not only beat Notre Dame, but bury Notre Dame so that we can't talk about playoffs with Notre Dame. And I've been saying this to Notre Dame fans, is that you need to be in a conference. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you can make money all alone. But the only reason why you get into the top 10 every year, not because you're a good football team, it's because you can put people in the seat. And that's not going to win you a national championship, and that's not going to win you a playoff game. So now I think the focus should be on the Notre Dame coach because he hasn't been beating anybody in the top 10. And all the pressure was on Harbaugh. Now I think it should be switched to Kelly over there at Notre Dame. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it would be switched on to him because they like what they have. They have their own network. They still win enough games. And I think some of them have just come to grips with the factor that they are not getting the talent they used to back in the day. But they are winning games. And until this Michigan game, I think they thought – and their fan base thought that they might have a pretty good opportunity. So we'll see what happens the rest of the way now. With one loss, it's going to be hard for them to get back up because they might be a better chance to see two SEC teams if that happens before Notre Dame. Notre Dame almost has to be perfect. When they're perfect, they're almost guaranteed to get
in. Notre Dame has two losses, bro.
Oh, my bad.
Remember, Georgia beat them earlier this season.
Yeah. I try to help them out. But when Notre Dame is perfect, they are almost guaranteed because of the exposure to get to history has shown us they're almost guaranteed to get in because of the exposure and people knows what that means. So, two losses is going to be very difficult. But now Michigan, we'll see what happens. They have their hands on the pulse of the conference again. But we'll see. One win does not make a season. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. And I think that I know they probably weren't going to win both, but they had to beat Notre Dame. I thought Harbaugh had to beat Notre Dame to keep his job because I can't see them beating Ohio State. But if he lost to both of them, I thought he was out of it. I mean, you can't beat some of the high-profile schools, and then Notre Dame would have jumped up in the ranks. And then Ohio State, which is ranked number 3 right now, they would have held steady. And they may be jumping up because one of these teams, LSU and Alabama, got to go. And I think it's going to be LSU. And you texted me earlier about the game with LSU. And I like LSU. Even though they switched coaches and got my guy over there in Kansas, I've always liked LSU. But what I saw LSU do when they were playing Auburn, I can't see LSU beating Alabama. What say you, sir?
Well, if it's your time, they're supposed to be their time. They have to find a way to get that done. And you better believe what Alabama does best is it's kind of what's that thing about the snake? Was you cut off the head and then the rest of the snake dies? And I hate to put a animal terminology on it. But so, yeah, so they're going to go right after Joe Burrow. So they're going to try to make his life a living hell and make it very uncomfortable. The question is, can LSU rebound from that and come up with a different strategy to deal with what they're coming with? And plus, too, the problem is Nick Saban's been to this dance before. And the reason why I think Clemson does so well is because Dabo Swinney is
Dabo.
Now Dabo. Yeah, Dabo has his he's cut his teeth. He knows what it's like, so he's no longer fearful. He goes in all ready to pounce and play, and his team has that same attitude. So now the question is, when can LSU or will they get over the hump? Until they do, we're always going to have that question. The question is going to always linger. And unfortunately, kind of like the bad boy Pistons or the Bulls and the bad boy Pistons and the Celtics, until you do it, it's always going to be that lingering little nasty little after effect, that aftertaste that people want to always doubt you. Hello, Dodgers. Anyway.
Were you surprised with LSU being put number one over Alabama?
Yeah, I was. But then when you look at it in regards to the media, and we have not hit the college playoff voting yet, but with the media and other things, the media loves good student. They love darling stories. And the story that has been going on for a while has been the comeback of Joe Burrow. Him being at Ohio State, not good enough to start, not good enough to play, so they, like, threw him away. Then he transfers, and he becomes this dynamite player who's showing you how much potential he has and really living up to his potential now and showcasing his talent. That's all well and good. It's a beautiful story. He went somewhere, and he's turning the team that really has struggled, turned them around to put them in a position where they literally are now vying for maybe a national championship. But at the end of the day, can we be real and can we be honest about this? It really comes down to, can you beat the big dog? Can you beat Alabama? Are you ready? Are you ready? It's just what it is. I mean, that's the challenge. You can't go any further until you slay the giant. And the giant's coming. You got to slay the giant. So with that being said, you just have to come with it. And if you're not ready, we're going to find out. And until then, it's a great story. So that's why I think they're number one. But if they lose, then what? They drop right down, don't they? Then all that talk about Joe Burrow and his team is kind of, shh. I hate Alabama. Alabama's always so good. You know, it's one of those things.
So Alabama plays at home against LSU. It's just going to be real tough to beat Alabama at home. And they're waffling, saying we don't know, it's a game time decision with Tua. Tua's gonna be playing in this game. if Nick Saban has anything to do with it, Tua's gonna be playing in this game. This is a big time game. This is the season. This is the toughest top competition they have played all year. It's gonna be all hands on deck. Another game. I don't think Ohio State would have any problem with Maryland. Clemson's not gonna have a problem with Wofford. But the interesting and intriguing game in the Big Ten this week is gonna be Penn State, who's undefeated, at Minnesota, who's undefeated. What do you think about that game, man?
Is that this week or is that next week? Penn State.
No, that's I'm sorry, I misspoke. That's November 9th. That's going to be a game. If they're both undefeated, somebody's old has to go. So that's going to be an interesting game. But let's talk about it. If they're undefeated going into that game, what should people expect out of that game with Minnesota? Because we don't talk about Minnesota a lot, but they are running the table and they are undefeated right now.
Yeah, well, they are, and they've earned the right to because they've been winning. But, again, I hate to be the pessimist here, but who have they beat? When you look at Minnesota,
right,
you look at their records, you're like, who are they beating? And Penn State is tested. They have been tested. They've had major games. And they've shown you that they're available. They can handle all of that. So Minnesota, this is an opportunity for Minnesota to show that they're real. Come back to the LSU-Alabama situation. You want to be respected the way I know you have the gentleman. They came over from the smaller school, rocked the boat, all of that. That's all well and good. We're going to see, can you rock the boat against Penn State? Penn State's a very good team. So this is really, I wouldn't say this is their season, but this is their opportunity to receive some national recognition, totally national recognition. So it's another great test, and I look forward to it. But I don't think you can discount Penn State because they're feeling pretty good about themselves, particularly with the top-notch run wide receiver that you love, and just the team as a whole, they're playing quite well.
Yeah, Oklahoma really surprised me losing to K-State. I thought Oklahoma would be in the mix when come playoff time. It's still not over for them, but it may be. They got to really have a big showing on the 9th against Iowa State. They're 7-1. They're ranked number 10 right now. Utah jumped up 3 spots, and they're number 9. Georgia's still hanging around at number 8. They moved up 2 spots. Oregon's number 7. Florida's number 6. They're hanging around. Penn State, I mentioned earlier, they're number 5. Clemson comes ahead at number 4. You got Ohio State, Alabama, and LSU. So how far in the game would LSU fall if they lose?
Well, I think that it depends on the score. I think that has a lot to play with.
Okay.
If they lose by 3, I can see a couple slots. But if they were, let's say, to get humiliated, they lose by 15 to 20, then I think you might see them drop. They might be at the very end of the top 10 just because losing to Alabama is not a losing to Alabama is not the worst thing in the world. But that will keep them in the top 10. But they're going to probably drop significantly. They're number 1. I can see them dropping to 9 or 10 if they lose. Just because you
have
to.
So the same would be.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Would the same be true if LSU loses or beats Alabama? Because I can't see a scenario where Alabama doesn't make the playoffs.
I wouldn't say Alabama's going to drop that far. Then they're going to. Here's how they flip that on you. Then those that vote and those that in the media, then they're going to say all that means is that LSU has arrived, right? So they're a legit team. So you mentioned that too. So if that's the case, then the loser of Georgia or Florida is probably going to be eliminated. If Ohio State goes undefeated, they're probably there. So we're marking these spots off. LSU's probably going to keep a spot, or Alabama will keep a spot if they lost, based on what they've done in the past, and then particularly if they say that Tua's not up to speed or he doesn't play, then that's going to be the crutch to say they're one at their strength. And you hear that all the time in college basketball, and college football when they're picking tournament teams and picking a committee, picking football. They say, well, we're looking at them at their strength, and we know they're better with Tua. So they're going to be a better team when Tua's healthy. So I think that kind of says we can't put them out of the equation to bring them back up.
Okay.
That makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. Any other thoughts on your eye test or games you're looking forward to? In NCAA football.
Yeah, the eye test, real quick. I was impressed by, I think I told you about the Texas brand and the state of Texas, how things go. 37-27 win from TCU over Texas. Oklahoma State over Iowa State. UCLA coming back and getting your boys at Arizona State. UCLA, I don't know, they're so up and down. Interesting there, too. And got to give praise to those that are listening. Illinois won another game, 24-6 over Purdue. They're getting close. They might be bowl eligible. You keep messing around. That'll be interesting. Games coming up, Georgia, Florida, definitely must watch. Kansas State versus Kansas. I like Kansas. I think they might be able to try to do something against 22 ranked Kansas State. TCU, Oklahoma coming off both big wins last week. Oregon is at USC. You never know. Oregon has a dynamite quarterback, and they play real well, but I want to see how that plays out. I will be watching that game as well. Keep my eye on it.
The game to watch and to keep your eye on. I've been talking about SMU, but Memphis, number 24. SMU is ranked number 15. Ah,
That might be an upset right there. That may be an upset right there. Memphis is 7-1, and SMU is undefeated. But I'm going to try to check out that game. Hopefully it's a good game. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk some NBA basketball. Then we're going to talk some boxing and talk about Icewater's son. He won't admit it, but I believe it's Shakira Stevenson right here on the Goon School.
What you going to play now? Bobby, I don't know, but whatever I play, it's got to be funky.
Yeah.
One, two, three, make it funky.
We're going to talk some NBA basketball in our quick eye test of NBA basketball. I'm telling you what, Ja Morant is the truth. Your boy from Kentucky is playing for Miami. Huron is the truth. There's some guys that are rookies that are really kind of blowing my wig. But I just sent you and Black a video of Big Cat fighting Embiid, and they came with Philly tonight. Big Cat has got a different attitude. I know Black has trashed him in the past. That dude is playing like he got a chip on his shoulder, and he's just trying to take over and dominate. But I'll stand back and get your eye test for the NBA, bro.
Yeah, so Big Cat may not be as soft as Black Thor may think anymore. Somebody must took his cookies and milk.
Yeah.
But he said that they were going to be a better team, and he said, watch out for us. Don't take us for granted. And from that perspective, you had to pay attention a little bit because even though it's early, they're 3-1, and they're playing pretty good basketball. What's surprising is right now, it's too early, of course, but you got to take your hat off and watch very closely. The San Antonio Spurs were undefeated, 3-0, and making some things happen. When you look at the East, Toronto's 4-1 without Kawhi, playing some pretty good basketball. Siakam is, man, earning his money the right way. That young man is really getting it done when you think about it from that standpoint. Another team that, or I'm just going to say a couple players. My buddy Arua was, I can't even think of the name, the rookie from Gonzaga. That Wizards is playing real well, playing good basketball, and I'm thinking, and these are some other just players that I'm thinking may are pretty good, but when you look at Oklahoma City, right, and the way that they're moving forward, I look at somebody that's really playing good basketball. Is the young man from Kentucky that they brought over from the deal with the Clippers, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's the main guy.
Yeah.
he's taking like 20 shots a night, even with Chris Paul on the team. It's like, this is my team, bro. And he's a heck of a player, and he gets things done, and you have to applaud him for being there. And if OKC, with all of these changes, they really want to get back on the map, they should just hold steadfast and take their time, build that team around that guy, some other young players, and build during the draft. And I think you'll be surprised with what they can do down the line. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, the coach finally gets a chance to coach without Westbrook, because it seems like anything he was trying to do and trying to coach, Westbrook was really kind of sabotaging it with his attitude and his play. So now you're starting to see Billy Donovan really starting to coach, and I'm glad, because I always thought he was a hell of a coach, but it seemed like when he got to OKC, it just wasn't anything he was trying wasn't working, and so I'm going to keep my eye on OKC. Minnesota is playing really well. Of course, you said San Antonio. Houston, I don't know how that's going to work.
with Houston because Phoenix, somebody get Booker. The Knicks, come on, get Booker. Save him from the Phoenix Suns. That dude can flat-out ball. I've been saying that for the last 2 years. Please save him from the Phoenix Suns because they put their foot in Houston's ass when they played him and took it to him. And so I think – not Houston. I think the Clippers. They beat the Clippers. Now, if you got a talented player like Booker that could single-handedly just beat the Clippers, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on. And so just save him. Golden State, a lot of people talk about Golden State. We talked about Golden State last week. They got their first win. They got a lot of young players. But I got a sense, Ice, that they're going to trade some of those players they have before the trading deadline to get some players that kind of fit more in their system. They got a lot of young players, and they got a lot of players to play with in trading. I'm looking forward to seeing Minnesota just to get to under Black's craw, to see a big cat kind of just take over and be the guy that I thought he was when he was coming out of Kentucky. Portland, it's really too early. I don't really like talking about basketball, especially the NBA, until the first 20 games elapse because you get to see, you know, what teams are going to do, how they narrow down their kind of rotation and who's going to be there. But it seems to me, and you mentioned this earlier, it seems to me with Kawhi Leonard being with the Toronto Raptors, they kind of got around a player that showed them how to win and how to kind of be champions. And it seems like they said, okay, he's not here anymore, but we know how to do this. And if I'm not mistaken, they have won some games without Kawhi Leonard making their championship run during the season last year. So I wouldn't really kind of – I know I didn't mention Toronto being that team that could kind of repeat or get back in the playoffs or have a high seeding in the playoffs. But if Siakam could keep that kind of level of play, and these guys have they tasted the championship, they've been there before, even though minus Kawhi, they could be the team in the East where they could be a hard put out. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can see that, but my only problem and more issue is, though, you're going to have this rest of these guys step up. You know, Van Fleet is going to have to step up. You're going to have to get the same effort that you have from Lowry, which he's playing pretty decent right now, but we're only four games in. You're going to need to Gasol is going to play hard for you. What's our big fella that came from OKC? He's going to have to play. And all of those pieces together, collectively, yes. But if they don't, if there's one or two things that falter, that's why Kawhi was so great because for them. Because at that time, every night, he could drop you 28, 30 if you needed it, and whoever else would show up, great. Who's going to do that? Siakam's doing real well right now, but we're talking about 82 games, a young man that really is just finding his way as a leader. So I think they're capable, but you need all of those pieces clicking, all those cylinders clicking, because you don't have that constant like Kawhi. At least not so far, they had a constant that other people can show up whenever, as long as you have somebody that helps keep the ship afloat.
Yeah, because I have to admit, I slept on them like, oh, Kawhi left, they're done. But watching them, and like you said, Siakam, it's like he's trying to take it to another level. Van Fleet's trying to take it to another level. Lowry, you never know. But it seems like, okay, we know how to win. This guy taught us how to win. We're taking what we learned, and we're building on that, and we're moving forward. So they may be a beast in the East. Let's switch to boxing, man. And it was a great fight this weekend. I'll let you talk about it a little bit more. But I was looking at Shakur Stevenson, and I'm looking at – I said, me and you have a gap in our teeth. And I'm looking at the gap in his teeth. I'm looking at his hair texture, and I'm looking at him, and I'm texting back and forth with you. I'm like, man, is Ice calling out on some information? Is this his son? Is this his son? Because some of the mannerisms, man, this cat, and I think I know you're enamored with this young man. I want you to tell the folks why you like this young man so well. And I'm joking about him being your son. I'm joking about that. But, man, y'all favorite. Y'all could be some kids somewhere.
Pom, I tell you what, if he was my son, you and I both would be at his fights. You already know that. We'd both be sitting there talking to Andre Ward and Mr. Crawford going like, yeah, the boy look good, don't he? Shoulder look good, don't he? Look good, look good, look good. Anyway, we'd be front since you already know. But, no, he's an outstanding talent. And he was fighting against his girlfriend's brother. And there's a lot of drama there because they don't like Shakur Stevenson because of the drama, and they said he's disrespectful. And they knew him back in the day when he was an amateur, so they think he's changed because he's been winning, and said he said some things about the family. And he went in, and they're the ones that supposedly this family challenged him to fight their son, who was undefeated at the time. Shakur Stevenson went in there, handled business, very talented, and he was just – he's so patient. And you don't think a person that young should have that patience. And he really just takes his time, and he walks him down and literally probably shut the fighter out. Made him, if he won one round, he was lucky, but literally just shut him out. Clearly. And with that being said, at the end, he showed you that he's growing as a young man too, because they didn't really want to shake his hand. One of the other brothers came at the end to shake his hand afterwards and talk to him. And one of the things he said is, I know y'all don't like me or whatever the situation may be, but please, because he's talking to the young lady's father and the brothers. He said, you may not like me, but please talk to your daughter and please talk to your sister. Because she misses y'all, and that's all he said. And what young man says that? What young man says that at that age when he has everything
that
on the table?
That was so classy.
He could be such a punk, but he didn't. He didn't. He was amazing.
And when he said that, Ice, that showed me how much he cared about her, and that she's probably confided in him, like, listen, I really miss my family. I love you, but I really miss my family. And him making a plea saying, hey, talk to her. I know you don't like me. And that's how it goes sometimes with family. You don't like who they're paired with, but that shouldn't kind of tear you away from not having a relationship with your child and your sibling. And I thought that was so classy of him. I think you're absolutely right about Stevenson. He's so patient, and I remember watching him in the Olympics, and he caught my eye there. And you kind of knew, just watching him there, that this guy was going to be something special. Coming out of there, he's the first one to win a championship out of that class. And so I'm just wondering what's in the future for him as far as fighters that he can fight. He's under Floyd Mayweather, am I correct?
Actually, no, he's under Bob Arum.
Okay.
But one of his major advisors is Andre Ward.
Okay.
Yeah, son of God.
How do you think that's going to work, man? Because, you know, Bob Arum, you know, has a reputation, and I know Floyd got away from him. How do you think that will kind of, you know, pan out?
Well, the beautiful thing is, while Bob Arum can be known for being different, the factor that Andre Ward is one of his major advisors. He's not going to see anything happen to him bad. And the other thing, too, is Terrence Crawford is under Bob Arum, and Terrence Crawford and Stevenson are real close as well.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, then I don't think that he doesn't want to lose anything, so he's not going to risk any losing Crawford and losing Stevenson. So it's interesting as well. One of the things I'll say real quick is it appears that they're so close and tight that Stevenson has sparred with Crawford before. So imagine
wow.
that being so young. And he's also said not too long ago that he asked to be in camp with and sparred with Lomachenko. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this young man, and they said he was holding his own. So him sparring with Lomachenko and Crawford, you don't think that gets him ready when he's fighting his fights? Amazing.
Man, if you had a son, I think that'd be it. A
go-getter. How your daddy, boy? How your daddy, boy? How your daddy?
Now, there's some fights coming up, man. I know you have another show that you talk about some of these fights. What are some of the fights that are coming up that we need to take a gander at in November?
Well, this weekend we have Kovalev versus Canelo. It's going to be very interesting. So, actually, was it next weekend? I'm sorry. Is it the 5th? I have to think about when is that. Do you know when that fight is?
The 5th?
Is it the 5th?
I know this weekend is the 2nd.
Let me see when that
I know,
is. I can tell you in a minute.
You got the 2nd, the 9th?
No, it's this weekend, November 2nd. November 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sergey Kovalev versus Canelo Alvarez is going to be a good fight coming up. Also, too, the fight that you do not want to miss is, I think that's in, is it December, though? No, it's the 23rd. I think it's the 23rd, is Ruiz versus Wilder, the rematch. So I saw something where Ruiz has been getting in great shape. He has a brand new trainer.
You mean Ruiz and Joshua?
No, Ruiz and Wilder. No, we're not Ruiz.
You know, Ortiz and Wilder.
Ortiz and Wilder. Let me get these names straight.
Okay.
Ortiz and Wilder have their rematch coming up. And Ortiz has been getting in great shape.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And those are great fights coming up. And then, of course, as you move into December, the Joshua Ruiz rematch is coming back, too. But, yeah, those are a few things.
All right. Let's get to our last second shots, man, and get out of here so I can edit the first 40, put it on YouTube. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel, the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast, and catch our first 40. We do our first 40 minutes on YouTube where you can see our lovely faces, the sports villains, sports talk villains and superheroes you get to see unveiled on YouTube. And then we come right here to do our overtime show where we do our picks and all that other stuff and get deeper into our topics. But we haven't done our last second shots in a long time, so we got a little time. Ice, what's your last second shot?
Yeah, I was kind of torn because a lot of stuff was going on, but I'm going to go here. I'm a huge horse racing fan, and I'm sorry that all this stuff has happened with the horses that have passed away at Santa Anita and all these different racetracks. Not sure what's going on, but the Breeders' Cup is this weekend. Two great days of racing. I just hope nothing tragic happens out of the Breeders' Cup out of Santa Anita. But I will say this. I was looking at something for the Breeders' Cup, and they have sponsors that put their names on certain races. Like they'll have the Maker's Mark Mile or something like that. Then I saw something that a sponsor in this company, and they put their name on it and on the name of a race, and it tells you that anything is for sale. And I forgot the name of the race. It was the This Stab, whatever it is, but it's simply called Big Ass Fans Race. Big Ass Fans This Stab. And they have a picture of a donkey as their logo, Big Ass Fans, and a picture of a donkey in front of it. And you go check out the Breeders' Cup website, you'll look down and you'll see it'll say Big Ass Fans and whatever the race is. Amazing. Anything is for sale, brother, these days.
My last second shot is not sports related, but we lost a big icon today, John Pops Witherspoon. If you haven't seen Fridays and the Wayans Brothers, and Black Jesus and the Boondocks and all the stuff that John Witherspoon was in, you need to check it out. He's one of the most hilarious comedians and actors, he's going to be sorely missed. So, wow, peaceful travels to you, sir. And that's our show. We'll catch you next week. Take care.
Hey, Paul Martello, if you want to see some John Witherspoon, check out the Boondocks Garden Party. One of the best Boondocks episodes ever. Garden Party.
Yeah. And hopefully they'll make the single when my love goes bang, bang, bang. By the Tiptoes.
Bang, 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 bang. Good show, brother.